This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
For 15 years, I've been obsessed to find out what was going on inside of him. It's been my life work and my ultimate failure. This force, this thing that lived inside of him came from a source too violent, too deadly for you to imagine. It grew inside him, contaminating his soul. It was pure evil.
What makes you think he'll come back here?
This house is sacred to him. He has all his memories here. His rage! Mrs. Strode, I beg of you, don't let your family suffer the same fate that Laurie and her daughter suffered.
Jamie, I thought that...
She's been found outside Haddonfield. Stabbed!
What should I do?
I've written it all down for you, but you haven't a moment to lose. Mrs. Strode, Michael Myers has come back to Haddonfield to kill.
Hey everybody, welcome to the 13th episode of the Everyday is Halloween podcast. I'm your host, Poor Guy Keenan, here to chill you to the bone with some great news and information. Although there's not much of that this month. Since it's the month right before Halloween, I thought I'd bring Kenny Caperton back on the show to tell us about his new movie, Honey Spider, that's coming out next month. It looks to be really cool. I got to get a little sneak peek of it and talk to him about that, including his replica of the Michael Myers house and a bunch more, including the sad passing of Wes Craven. So, let's just take it away. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce my good friend, Kenny Caperton, to the show.
Hey, how's it going, Keenan? It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, man, you too. You've been pretty busy this last year. Or I guess, what, 3 years, you said earlier?
Yeah, three, four. I can't even remember when I started writing this movie.
Yeah. For all you guys that don't know, Kenny and, was it Josh Hastie?
Yeah, Josh Hastie, he's the director.
Yes, directed, and then you wrote and produced this film called Honey Spider.
Correct, yes.
I got to screen the movie the other day. It almost feels like this great combination of the love for Halloween mixed with a true horror story. You know, like a lot of them kind of like teeter on that, like, well, this is Halloween. It's kind of be more for, not for kids, but just not as gory. And it's in one category. And then you have your Halloween horror films, and that's in another category. This one, like, kind of mends the two together in this kind of fun way.
Thank you.
Yeah, Kenny, I want to ask you, where did you get the idea for the name Honey Spider?
The name Honey Spider, of course, is I'm a crazy Smashing Pumpkins fan. Mm-hmm. They've been my first love forever, and they have this track from, I think, 1989. It's one of their early B-sides,
yeah.
And it's called Honey Spider. And I've always loved that title for the song. And then I had this idea when I wrote this movie, and I was trying to come up with some sort of name for it, and I always go to the Smashing Pumpkins for inspiration, mm-hmm. and I just saw that title, and I was like, wow, I think that would be a great, great, interesting title. I think that this sort of gets people's attention, and then through that title, A little bit of that sort of worked its way into the script as well, so it influenced the story.
That's awesome. So yeah, so like thinking about the title and like kind of got, like kind of put images in your head and really kind of brought forth what kind of came out in the film.
Yeah, it really did. It brought on a whole new level of inspiration when I was in the middle of the writing the script, which was awesome. I needed that.
Yeah. So, all right. So we have the story centers around Jackie Blue. And she's a girl, it's kind of like, a troubled girl going to school, and like this trouble looms around her from every corner. And there's, I don't want to spoil the movie or anything like that, but check out the trailer. What goes into making a production like this with so many Halloween elements? Like, I've noticed each shot you guys carefully picked to kind of keep, like, vintage Halloween decorations over here, or, like, putting, you know, the Monster Mash and getting the rights to those songs. Like, it seems like it was, like, almost a love project.
Absolutely. I mean, when I, you know, this was my first full-length feature movie that I wrote, and, you know, one of my biggest obsessions is obviously the Halloween franchise, but also the season as well, and everything that, you know, the fall encompasses, mm-hmm. Halloween decorations and, right. and everything. Pretty much, I mean, yeah, absolutely, 100% of all the decorations you see in Honey Spider are from my personal collection.
Oh, wow.
Because I've just collected vintage Halloween stuff forever. Mm-hmm. And when I wrote this movie, I knew it had to take place on Halloween, and that was a huge thing for me, is that I wanted the movie to really feel like it was taking place on that day. And I love movies that center around Halloween, but sometimes I feel like it's just, I mean, I guess it is a gimmick, but in a lot of movies, they just throw that in there, but they just don't capture the spirit of Halloween. And that was, to me, one of the most important things, besides obviously the story, but the backdrop. And I want it to really feel like, that you were following this girl on Halloween day. So, I did all the production design as well, so I meticulously put up all the decorations and stuff like that. And we went out of our way. I mean, it was hard enough to get a crew together to film this, because it was on a micro budget. We basically had no money to do this at all.
Okay.
And but we were still able to film it in North Carolina at the peak of fall, at the very beginning of November. So that kind of added,
you know,
atmosphere.
It was funny. I noticed a scene where she's walking down a sidewalk, and literally on each end of the sidewalk is full of fall leaves. And I wasn't sure if in like old John Carpenter fashion, if you guys literally just poured a bag of leaves on the ground, or if those were actually
there. We didn't have the budget or the time or the manpower to do something like that. But
yeah
I think you're when we shot, like, the opening credits was filmed around the super historic building in Hillsboro. It's one of the oldest, I think, structures in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But I went out there like the week before to check on the location, and they were about to mow all of the leaves.
Oh,
and
man.
I screamed at the guys. I was like, no, don't mow any of these leaves. We're about to film here in a week. So we had a good, you know, week of just these huge oak trees, just, build up of leaves. And throughout the movie, when she's walking, there's leaves blowing in her face, and it looks like we have this like big, you know, fan on the side doing this whole production, but it's all natural, all of it.
Wow. So I was going to ask you, not getting too detailed into the story of the movie, there's a part where something goes into actors or actresses' mouth. I don't take too many gag takes when I watch a movie, but I literally had to like close my face with my hands and move away because it was just so graphic to me.
Yeah, it's really gnarly, and it's surprising because that's when I wrote that, it's just typically something that I wouldn't write.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more, I don't know, it's kind of gruesome and just hard to watch type stuff, but I love, you know, a lot of hardcore horror as well, but
right.
I was really happy how that turned out. It is a moment, you know, watching that in theaters and screenings where the whole audience just kind of cringes, looking at everyone. It turned out great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you see the cover of the movie, you might have an idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, definitely. God. So the film comes out October 6th.
Correct, yeah.
And now, is that just online, or is that everywhere?
The distribution company is handling all of that, mm-hmm. and they're in communication more with Josh than me. And I don't know, they're not giving us, feeding us all the information that I would like, but from my understanding, you know, October 6th, you'll pretty much be able to get it anywhere online on DVD. Well, not anywhere, but it's on Amazon, Best Buy, you know, all the big websites, which is, to me, is just incredible. It's absolutely amazing. You know, this little story I wrote in my bedroom that you can get it on, you know, Best Buy. It's crazy to me. But yeah, we're hoping that it's going to be in some stores. They said they've never had a problem getting something, you know, in Walmart and stuff like that, which I still just can't wrap my head around.
Your movie's going to be in Walmart.
There's a possibility you could just walk into Walmart and get the movie. But
yeah,
as of right now, it's just online. We don't have any, you know, stores announced where you can actually go in and get it, but we're mm-hmm. hoping in the next couple weeks that'll start rolling out. We'll start, you know, get some sort of idea where people can actually, you know, go to a store and buy it.
Right.
Because I have to have that experience.
Right, yeah. You have to go buy your own movie, you know.
I already have like 50 copies of it, but I'm still going to have to go to Walmart And it's funny, I'm hoping it's in one of those, like, shitty DVD rummage bins.
Right, yeah, your movie comes out and automatically goes to that bin.
I would be completely fine with that. I'll just rummage through the bin and just put them all on the top.
Right, yeah. Well, they're two for $5, so I just bought my movie twice, you know.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited, though.
So, all right, and then on top of all this, you have your annual Halloween bash. And
correct.
This is happening. This is what, the seventh year?
Yeah, this is the seventh annual Halloween party. We've had it every year we've lived in the house, which is, I can't believe that much time has went by already.
Yeah, and for you listeners at home, if you don't know and you didn't listen to the last time Kenny was on the show, Kenny has a replica of the Michael Myers house in North Carolina. And
yeah, I'm that crazy guy.
Yeah, and fans can go there and, you know, with permission, can shoot, you know, like, fan films, or that's happened before, right?
Yeah, we've shot, I think there's been like three or four Halloween fan films that have shot here, and luckily enough, they're some of the best, if not the best, Halloween fan films out there. These guys put a huge amount of effort. I mean, we're talking full-length feature indie productions, fan films.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of people think they, you know, they suck, but, you know, if you're a fan of Halloween and you're waiting, you know, how many years? 7 or 8 years for another sequel. I mean,
right.
They're fun just to watch. I posted the other day this fan film called Legends 2. Mm-hmm. It's a full-length feature fan film of shot at my house. It already has like 500,000 views.
Wow.
on YouTube, which is insane to me that many people have watched a fan film. But
and have watched your house nonetheless.
Yeah, well, I don't even like to talk about it. That makes me nervous. It's pretty bizarre how many people you know about my house. But hey, I have so much fun with it, man. I've met so many incredible people, and this year Halloween is on a Saturday.
Yeah,
so we're having our big Halloween bash on Halloween night. And I set up a huge 10x20-foot movie screen. Mm-hmm. And this year we're showing Season of the Witch.
Oh,
which
awesome.
People are probably going to kill me for.
I don't get the hate behind this. I just had Emily on my last show, and she talked about how much she hates that movie compared to all the other Halloween movies.
Well, it's coming around. Like, in the horror world, in the past, like, 3 or 4 years, it's, like, the Halloween 3 fans are, they're not taking any more shit. They're kind
right.
of, like, speaking up for themselves and convincing people that it's not as bad as one would think.
Yeah, I saw Tom Atkins was at a convention here not too long ago, and I was talking with him, and I was just like, you know, it's, like, probably my favorite Halloween movie, and he just kind of, like, gave me, like, the weird eye, like, really? You said that?
I mean, I honestly feel the same way. I think the original, and then maybe Halloween 3 is my next favorite one.
Yeah.
I mean,
because you can't not like the first Carpenter. Like, that builds the structure for everything, you know? And then, absolutely. Yeah, and just for some reason, those three masks, like, they stick with me. They resonate Halloween more than anything like I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's the thing with me, and I think that's why you get it too, Keenan. It's because we're both, like, just crazy fans of the season, and there's just something about that movie that just takes it to a level, you know, it just captures the season in a fun kind of, I don't know, just through the costuming and just the colors and showing this, you know, the season around the world and stuff like that. And it just, there's something about that movie that just works.
Yeah, the ending shots of just all the kids trick-or-treating around the world and stuff, and the sunset, like, yeah, it's perfect.
That one montage, it's just incredible.
Uh-huh.
It does in that movie.
Yeah, anytime I play that song in the house, I get yelled at for it.
I love playing that at the Halloween party. People love that song, though. As annoying as it is to a lot of people, every time, you know, it's, like, cranked up, like, people just start singing it and laughing.
Uh-huh. It's funny. Did you get around to seeing that somebody got proposed to in Michael Myers' mask right around the original house?
Yeah, right around the, where they were walking in South Pasadena. Yeah. He was around the corner. Yeah, that was great. That was awesome.
And I'm wondering if he is officially the first person to get a proposal with that mask on.
I wonder. That's pretty ballsy for a girl. Most girls would be like, oh, come on, really?
Yeah. I mean, she was wearing the bell bottom. She was dressed like Lori, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, if I would have proposed to my Emily like that, she would have just been like, oh, come on, Kenny, really?
Like, really?
Like, we live in the house, man. Like, do we need to keep to go this far? But
right.
Yeah, last Halloween, we had a couple get married at the house, which was incredible.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, did you guys do it, like, on the doorstep?
Yeah, we did it just like me and Emily did it. We did it kind of out in front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend who dresses up like Michael Myers every year for my Halloween party, he has an awesome costume. He kind of walked her down the aisle.
Oh, wow.
But it was a small wedding. There was just a handful of us, but yeah. It was fun. It was a beautiful day, and they're huge Halloween fans from West Virginia,
cool.
And they come here. They've been coming, I think, the past 3 years to my Halloween party, so.
Man, that's awesome.
So now they're coming back this year to celebrate their anniversary.
I wonder if, that'll be, like, the trip every year now. Like, we're going by Kenny and Emily's.
Yeah. And I just let them, you know, it's like, your anniversary, you guys got married here. Like, my home is your home. And that's the way I feel with all, you know, all Halloween and horror fans on Halloween night when I'm throwing my party. Like, my house, you know, is your house. I mean, don't destroy it or get wasted and tear up my bushes or anything.
Right, yeah.
But it's like, but I love having people out here, man, and being able to share it with everyone.
Yeah, and apparently, yeah, so you've always had people respect your place, right? You never had, like, that one drunken hooligan?
I mean, every now and then we'll have someone that's a little kind of, you know, past the limit on Halloween, and they're just kind of annoying, but you know, we haven't had anyone, you know, like Halloween or any time during the year who has, like, done anything stupid. Well, actually, I think someone stole our street sign 1 year on Halloween.
Oh, it's a shame.
Which was kind of annoying, but, you know.
Right.
Tricks and treats, I guess.
Yeah. Well, hopefully nothing bad happens this year, and you guys have a great time, and it's hopefully bigger.
Yeah, well, if it gets much bigger, I don't know what I'm going to do. But this year, I'm really excited. There's this 80s slasher film called The Mutilator, and it's one of, I think, two slasher films, that and Final Exam, that were filmed here in North Carolina.
Okay.
And throughout the past couple years, I've gotten to know The Mutilator director, Buddy Cooper. And this year, we're showing The Mutilator, and we're having, I think, the biggest Mutilator reunion at the house, and the movie's never been released on DVD or Blu-ray, and it's coming out, I think, right at the beginning of November. So at my house will be the first ever screening of the 2K restoration of that film.
Which is
amazing. So I'm really happy to do that, to be able to kind of
uphold the North Carolina horror film classics.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a fun, you know, if you dig those kind of obscure 80s slasher films, definitely check it out.
Oh, yeah.
It's got one of the best VHS covers you'll, like, ever see.
The Mutilator.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that's, like, the best name, too, The Mutilator.
Yeah, I just picked up Final Exam from Scream Factory not so long ago.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Now, is Mutilator, is that being brought out by them, or is it another company?
It's, Arrow.
Oh, okay.
In it. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, so, they've been putting
out Yeah, they're doing an awesome release of it, so.
Something also you guys might, may or may not know about Kenny, you also work with Rob Zombie from time to time.
Yes, it's true. I did work for Rob Zombie, but I no longer work for Rob Zombie.
Now, what happened with that?
So, yeah, I mean, it's all good. So for the past decade, on and off, I've been working for Rob, mainly for Sherry.
Uh-huh.
I ran her, you know, her clothing line, which I know you are a big fan of.
Definitely, yeah.
And different stuff, which was amazing. I mean, I started that a decade ago.
Right. It was a very cool little niche group of us that were kind of getting Sherry stuff off the ground, men and female stuff, you know, and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, and when I, because, God, over a decade ago, I started SherryMoonZombie.net, uh-huh. which was the, like, one of the only websites out there kind of talking about her. And this was right after House of a Thousand Corpses came out.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of built up a bunch of, like, momentum, and that's how I sort of came into working with her. I started doing promotions for her, and I was kind of her, sort of her outlet to reach her fans, and then I started taking over all of her official websites, and I started helping out Rob, and throughout Rob Zombie's Halloween, it was just me and Rob releasing all that information, because a lot of that information back in 2007 broke on the wonderful MySpace.
Ah, the days and that of MySpace. Was,
yeah, and that was me and Rob, but so anyway, and then things kind of with Sherry, she ended the clothing line,
mm-hmm.
And you know, she's getting older. She's been doing this for, I think, like 25 years with Rob. So she's kind of just, you know, wanted to just be with her family and stuff like that.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Weren't doing a whole lot of stuff through SherryMoonZombie.com and stuff anymore. But
mm-hmm.
then Rob announced that they were doing 31, and they didn't have anyone, because it's a really small movie, and they didn't have anyone doing the behind-the-scenes stuff. So
uh-huh.
we kind of, you know, put it out there, and we offered to do it. Me and Josh Hasty, who is the, you know, the director of Honey Spider.
Yeah.
He really wanted to do it more than me, because that's what Josh does. Like he wants to, you know, he's a filmmaker, and that's what he wants to do as a career. So it would have been a great opportunity for him. And I was like, you know, why not, you know, go to Los Angeles and uh-huh. live for a couple months and be a part of 31. That's, you know, that sounds amazing.
Definitely.
But I was just kind of at the beginning of the year, and I've been doing Honey Spider for years, and I've just been completely burned out. So I wanted to take a break, but then this opportunity came.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Josh, we packed up our bags and went to LA, and we started shooting, because we did, you know, we were there, like, before Rob even got to L.A., actually. We were kind of waiting for him to get there.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And we were going to shoot all of pre-production and everything through post-production.
Mm-hmm.
But we got there, and I shot for about a week or so, and then all of a sudden, just as I feared, as I like to call it, the Hollywood bullshit started happening.
Did it loom in the back of your head while you were there for a little bit, too? Like, did you feel it early on?
Well, I mean, no, it started off good, because it was literally me, Josh, Rob, and a handful of people.
Okay.
And then, you know, the producers stepped in, you know, and then more producers and more producers, and they were, you know, having a really hard time finding locations.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I think, a week before they were supposed to film, and they literally had maybe two or three people cast for the film. I mean,
oh,
it was
wow.
crazy. So it just, the environment got really intense really fast. And these, you know, I've worked for them for a decade.
Yeah.
and the guys who normally do this sort of behind-the-scenes job, or they're just kind of young, just hired guns. They come in there, they don't know the director or anything like that,
uh-huh.
and they're just supposed to shut their mouths and shoot.
Right.
You know, for 2 months straight. And that's just not what I was there to do, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was there to work hard and, you know, and do my job, but at the same time, we were not getting paid, like, anything.
Oh,
you
wow.
know? So
it was a love-labor kind of thing, and you were already kind of tired.
Yeah, it was a love, you know, absolutely. You know, I wanted to go in and help and be a part of it. And I just come from this indie world, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just, it's just not my thing. Like it was just this total hierarchy, all these egos, and I was just, I'm out of here, man. So Josh, he stuck it out and he shot the whole thing. And I'm not sure, he might be editing it now.
Okay.
But it's a huge project for him. He's put a ton of work into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish the absolute best for him, and I hope 31 turns out amazing. But I'm really excited because I do love Rob Zombie's work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of a fan of like House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects and stuff. But
but
I'm happy that he's shooting. You know, he's back to shooting something on Halloween, which I think everyone's really excited. It's an original thing he's come up with,
right?
And so I'm happy that I'm kind of like, you know, not in the core of it, so I can kind of enjoy it as a fan on the outside.
Right,
and not have to go through this, like, tormented, like, 2 months and be like, oh, fuck this movie, man.
Right.
So that's sort of what happened, but...
Is everybody still on good terms?
Well, I mean, honestly, I have a pretty strong, like, I can get pissed off pretty well, but I didn't let it get to that point.
That's good.
So I just kind of told the producers, I'm out, and I left. And I was going to leave it up to Rob if he wanted to come to me, you know, or at all.
Right.
And, of course, he didn't.
Wow.
But, which, you know, it's kind of sucked because, you know, I've helped them out for a decade. So
definitely. But, and, I mean, have you – now, would you say you were more, like, close with Sherry than Rob, or was it kind of the same?
Yeah, I mean, I was closer for sure with Sherry, and you know, and I'm not working for her anymore either. So
right,
and I haven't spoke to her as well. So
wow, so that was just kind of it.
Yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, that's the thing, man. When you're dealing with like mega millionaires, you know, it's like, that's just the way it is. But yeah, you know, but it's all good.
That's good. As long as you're happy, you know, or it's kind of like, and I'm, it takes a lot to take, you know, a step back from something like that. Cause sometimes those, not saying that you were getting paid, but those dollar signs do sway people, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I like to tell people. It's like to me, it's all good. You know, I'm totally happy with, you know, cause I'm just at this point in my life where I'm making decisions on what I want to do. And there's a lot of like, filmmakers, indie filmmakers, and all these people, their goal is always, I want to go to Hollywood, and that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but my advice to them is, where do you feel comfortable, and where, you know, what is the type of movie you want to make? You know, do you want it to be a collaborative effort, you know, a small crew, and everyone kind of has their ideas and pitches in, you know, and makes the best of it, you know, and that's kind of the world that I live in, you know. I'm just kind of a, like, you know, I take things seriously and I work hard, but it's just the Hollywood world and the egos, and it's just not my thing at all.
Right. You know,
you know, I mean, I'm a fan first. That's what I tell people. And you can't be a fan in Hollywood, you know?
Right. Yeah. You'll
it's
get
like
eaten
you're
alive.
There to step over people and, you know, and just kiss ass everyone and kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, you almost lose a part of you because you're trying to give in so much to make something so great. And in the end, is it really worth it? You know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and some people it is. I mean, you know, if your entire world is all you can do is make film, you know, then, you know, shoot for the stars. But, you know, for me, it's just, you know, I'm a fan, and I'm such a crazy fan that I decided to make movies. Mm-hmm. And luckily, I mean, I wrote this movie, Honey Spider, in my bedroom, and we shot it for nothing, and we got a worldwide distribution deal.
Yeah,
so
it's
to me, that is, I mean, that's like the limit for me. That's amazing. So
yeah, it's that Kevin Smith quote where he's just like, you can do it. It's not that hard. If you have the gumption and you want to do it, you can do it, and it won't cost you an arm and a leg. You know, like, it might cost you a little bit, but, you know.
Absolutely.
You can get it out there.
Absolutely. But now it's kind of, I can kind of like breathe, and, you know, I have no more projects going on, and I can kind of just enjoy, you know, the, like, Tales from, you know, the Tales of Halloween movie. I'm really excited for that.
Yes.
And kind of, you know, just enjoy stuff on a, because that's what I mean, obviously, I live in a life-size replica of the Myers house. I'm a crazy fan, and I just don't want to lose that love and passion for film. And in the past year, especially at the end of last year, I started, you know, really losing, I mean, I could really feel my love of films, like, kind of going away, you know, because you're sort of get in this whole world, and it just kind of sucks the life out of you. And I hated that feeling.
Yeah, you don't want to become a project, you know. You still want it to be, you know, that thing that you loved when you started.
Yeah, to me, it's like once it becomes a job and you're doing someone else's stuff, and you know, and it's just kind of a paid gig. It's just, you know, unless you can pick and choose, or you're just passionate about filmmaking, you just like being with other people and just shooting whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But
no, that's great, and that's why I always give you props that you know you took the same architecture of the Myers house and built it in North Carolina, like not upstate Hollywood, not you know somewhere in California, like. It's just like, you know, to me, this is kind of where I feel Halloween truly resonates from, you know? And you see it in the photos and the, you know, the atmosphere that you guys have out there, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of facades of the Myers house being built. Actually, there's this huge haunt here, Woods of Terror. I gave them part of my blueprints to build, you know, a facade of the house. And there's one, I think, at Universal now, right?
Yeah, there was one in Orlando. And then now in, they're doing it again in Hollywood. So they took the same blueprints and did it over there.
Which is, you know, it's amazing. And people love to go see it. But there's just something that, you know, about my house that I built this as a home, you know, to live in. I didn't build this to, like, as some sort of
prop,
you know, prop or museum or whatever. It's like, you know, my cat is right here beside me asleep.
Yeah.
You know, this is my life every day. And I think there's just something that other fans growing up watching this movie like me for, you know, 30 years, it just, it sort of resonates with them and they get it. And that's why we have just so many people come from all over to spend Halloween here, and I try to make it the absolute best it can be. So
yeah, and that's great. Like the fact that you haven't gone, you know what? I'm kind of over Halloween this year. I'm just gonna like I can see when you take a break from the party every now and then, but like the overall holiday, like you never. I don't see you and Emily going like we're gonna go to Hawaii this year and just drop all the pumpkins, you know? Like
no way. But it's funny. Like this year, I was planning because of all this stuff with you know LA and everything. I was just kind of burnt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taking and the plan was, we're still doing, we're taking a week vacation. We're driving up north, like all the way up to Connecticut and stuff to see the fall leaves and everything. So we're going to kind of take, we were planning to just take a week and not do the Halloween party or anything. And then of course I broke down and decided to do it, and I'm making it bigger and better than ever. So
you know how long it's going to be till Halloween's on Saturday again?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I was like, it's on a Saturday. It's like, I can't not do it. So
yeah,
it's just a ton. I put a ton of work and effort and not only, you know, money into it as well. So, but you know, it's when you have 300 people on your lawn and everyone's telling you, you know, thank you for making my Halloween so much fun. I mean, that's priceless to me.
Yeah.
That's what drives me, you know, to do it.
Especially since like, there's a lot of, if you're not into like horror movies or the actual season of Halloween, you can really have a lame Halloween for like 7 years straight, you know, like, I guess we'll go downtown. I guess I'll go over to my friend's house and drink, you know? And
that's what everyone does here. They go to this big downtown party and it's nothing. Yeah, that's what it is. It's just a, you know, there's not one like actually carved jack-o'-lantern to be seen anywhere. You know,
it's not the,
like, that drives me crazy. So.
Yeah, it's not the trick or treat downtown party, you know, like everybody wishes their downtown had.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Yeah, that's awesome. But yeah, I think it's like every year, probably a couple days before our big event, we have like a pumpkin carving like kind of party. So I get all my friends to come over to the house and we carve like, you know, 20 or 30 jack-o'-lanterns.
Oh, that's awesome.
Party,
so. Now, does the place you get the jack-o'-lanterns from, do they kind of cut you a deal? Or do you guys just go like, you know, Publix? Yeah, $6.
Yeah, I mean, I go to, I get them, you know, from Walmart. They're pretty cheap there or whatever. But I also go to a lot of like local farms to get, I like to just pick pumpkins out of the patch.
They're really
expensive and overpriced, but
but
you just got to have that experience. But yeah, so I get them like kind of like, I don't know. I'm just it's like impulse. It's like when you go up to the checkout, like the grocery store, and there's like the bubble gum sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
See, if I see a pumpkin anywhere, that's how I am. I'm just like, oh well, you know, we could use a couple more pumpkins. So So I just fill up the cart with pumpkins, and Emily, she just rolls her eyes, you know, yeah. Whatever.
Now, God, now, do you guys have, like, a carving set at home? Like, a really nice professional carving set, or do you do, like, the motorized pumpkin carver?
No, we're just straight old school. We have the big spoons and just the butcher knives.
The plastic.
And a couple of those, yeah, a couple of those really shitty plastic sets that basically, I can't do anything with those, but Emily can work wonders with those little, you know, those little
tabs.
Cheap carving kits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time I use them, I usually, for each one you buy, I feel like you just break them all with
a
pumpkin.
Yeah, that's what I do. I just stick it in there, and it just bends to the side and breaks. But Emily, she can carve, like, this masterpiece in it. And I'm just like, fuck it. And I get the giant butcher knife, and I just carve, like, a traditional jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah. Moving on to, I guess, actual Halloween news. Halloween Returns. Man. Have you heard about this project before today?
Yes. Basically, any Halloween thing that's ever announced, no matter how minor it is, it fills up my inbox.
Nice.
Or people post it to my page. Like, it's like, oh, Halloween is, let's send it to Kenny, which is cool. So it's, I don't really have to go out and look for it. It just kind of comes to me, anything, you know, Halloween. But,
right.
Which is awesome. But yeah, no, I'm excited about this. I mean, it's been a while since we've had a Halloween film, and, this guy who's writing it, directed it, you know, he did The Collector, and I love that. And
yeah, Marcus Dunstan, I think is the name?
Yeah, Dunstan, yeah, and he's written, he seems like a very competent writer, so, and, you know, that they're trying to kind of bring it back to the original vibe. And
Now, is it still, Akkad is his name? Is it still his production team that's handling the Halloween franchise?
Yeah, oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, okay, because, I mean, even with the Rob Zombie movies, I know it still went through him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm sure they'll always be a part of it.
Yeah, it's just strange to me because I hadn't heard anything about this movie since this kind of blow-up today, and usually you kind of see, you get little things here and there and tidbits of them kind of like teasing and stuff, and it just seems like they're trying to stay very tight-lipped about this new one coming out.
I know, and then this guy does a two-hour interview with a fan.
Right, on like a podcast.
And,
like,
and then the fan loses the majority of it. Like, yeah. What an epic fail. If I would have did an interview like that and lost the stuff, I don't even know if I would have posted it. People would have ripped me. I would have got so many. People would have probably came down here and burned down my house.
Right, yeah, like, are you kidding? You had these answers on a silver platter, and you just, oh, yeah, it pops and cracks, and then, like, they just lose part of it. Like, I can't believe it, but that's insane.
But stuff like today in this interview, I mean, it's hard for me to believe pretty much anything that comes. I mean, it seems like every, you know, 4 or 5 months there's some sort of big, you know, news that comes out, but I mean, my thing is, until they're actually on set filming it,
that's when it's happening.
I feel like everything is just some sort of, you know,
oh, like a marketing ploy.
Yeah. Okay, Marcus. Yeah, you're doing a podcast with a fan. Yeah, you're making this movie.
Yeah.
Nah.
And he even said, like, they just did a few tests, you know, like screen tests with the new Michael Myers and stuff like that, but nothing's technically still 100% solid.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what kind of worries me.
Yeah, it never is with Halloween. But no, I'm excited about, you know, this guy and the story. It sounds, it sounds fine to me. I mean, I'm pretty open at this point, you know?
Oh, yeah, especially with the sequels. Like, I know, like, I was reading some comments where people were talking about it, and they were just saying how, like, this does not, you know, homage anything to the original movie. And I was like, have you seen, like, the last 6 or 7, you know? Like,
I mean, I think to where we are now, it's, I mean, it is good to, we need a change of pace.
Definitely.
Like, seriously.
Yeah. And this whole concept of, like, you know, like, they finally caught Michael, and he's, like, you know, like, gonna get, like, the chair, you know? And then there's kids, I guess, that were, like, the kids of somebody, the people that got killed.
Yeah, who gets killed, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that it's supposed to take place, like, after, I don't know, 2, or there's
said after 3.
3 doesn't really exist in this world,
but could you imagine how cool it would be if they say, no, like, 1, 2, and 3 do exist, so in, like, this, four, like, the semi-new 4 movie, they have, like, Season of the Witch stuff here and there, just
oh,
just
man. It is Halloween, it's Halloween Returns, but technically it's kind of the third one, so.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. He should throw in some sort of little Season of the Witch thing.
Right, yeah, or even like a news report that, you know, like that whole thing that happened in that town with the morphing mask. Like, I think hardcore fans would lose their shit and, you know, be so ecstatic about that.
Or they would just bitch because it's pandering or something.
Right, oh, they're just trying to get those fans. They don't even care, yeah. You know?
Halloween 3 sucked anyway. Oh, why are they putting that stuff in there? It's ruined the movie for me.
Yeah, that's gone. So that sounds really cool, and I'm hoping it's real. I mean, the news just kind of really came out today about it. So you'll hear more.
Yeah, hopefully they start filming it this year, man. That'd be cool to have... or next year, hopefully. I'm assuming it probably won't come out till late next year or 2017. So we still have a while.
Right, yeah. I mean, I know they're kind of like... I feel like everybody's waiting for the other slasher to come out again. You know, like, nobody wants to be that first slasher that comes out. Because it would be, like, yeah. the second or third revamp of, like, Jason and Freddy, you know? Like, so I think Halloween's just kind of waiting for New Line to kind of, like, jump in place real quick.
Yeah, and I can't believe they're doing a total, like, another reboot of Nightmare and stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, God,
it's admitting defeat, you know?
Yeah, it's just, do what Halloween Returns is doing. It's like, don't completely just...
Abandon everything.
Yeah, abandon everything. Just kind of like, let's pick and choose kind of what's good, what people like, what works, and kind of expand on that story, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, if you're just going to retell the same original story over and over and over again, it's like, what is the point?
Yeah, it's the whole Batman Origins thing where, like, people are like, I'm so tired of seeing Bruce Wayne's parents get killed.
yeah, exactly. And, like, these Superman movies, I cannot believe... these Superman movies are even, like, in theaters anymore.
To me,
it's been rebooted so many times, or, you know, and like, Spider-Man and stuff, it's like, I just have no interest at all in watching any. I haven't seen any of the new, you know, the new ones.
Yeah, so. And I don't blame you, because I have another podcast called Space Dragon, and we talk about kind of, like, you know, comics and video games and stuff like that, and we get brought up, like, Superman and the new Batman movie, and I'm like, yeah, I'll watch it. And then everyone, like, my co-hosts are just like, really? You were really going to watch that piece of crap? And I was just I honestly, at this point, they've ruined so much stuff that, like, I just don't care anymore. To me, it's just like a popcorn flick. If it sucks, next.
Sure. I mean, if you're into superhero and comic movies, you have to see them, you know? But me, it's kind of like, I'm kind of like, well, I like the Batman movies.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's kind of how I feel about the whole comic world.
Yeah.
You know, the Batman movies are a little spooky and dark, and that's kind of why I gravitate towards them. I've never been a huge fan into, like, you know, into the big comic series. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them, you know, they are really fun, but I cannot watch the reboots that they just do it over and over and over again.
Yeah, and just kind of like, well, maybe Ben Affleck will be good. And it's just like, all right, just...
I know, it's like, who's going to get next?
Yeah, ugh, it hurts. Well, you brought up Nightmare on Elm Street.
Hollywood, man. It's Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
It hurts, man. And you know what? I feel like we're slowly bringing it back because, like, look, Georgia has a huge, like, film incentive now to start filming things out there. And it's, I feel
I know the North, like, everything was being shot in North Carolina and they just, I think, messed with their incentive. So everything is going to Georgia now.
Oh, really? That's a bummer. I mean, it's like kind of like down the road, I guess, but not really, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's still. But honestly, it's still Hollywood. I mean, I mean, they do have local crews, but it's all the big Hollywood people coming out here running it. They're just kind of using Georgia as slave labor.
You're 100% right. They're just flying out their minions from Hollywood, you know?
Like, yeah, and they're just like, okay, go get some of these backwoods people that are halfway decent with a camera or who can lift, like, rocks and boulders and move lights.
Yeah, they'll sweat out on the Walking Dead sets. It's fine, you know? God.
But, yeah.
But, yeah, you brought up Nightmare on Elm Street earlier. We lost Wes Craven not too long ago.
Brutal, man. It's horrible.
Now, I know, I know you're a huge... Halloween fan, but I also know you're a huge Scream fan. Those are like your two big, you know, loves. And how did that kind of affect you? I know that day I just kind of sat on the couch for a while and just didn't really do anything. You know, it bummed me out.
It's funny because I've been going. You know, I mean, I've been a horror fan pretty much my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm older, I mean, a lot of these movies, they mean a lot to me, and you just don't really know what. You know, like, what they mean to you until, like, you know, certain moments or whatever. And in the past, you know, 5 or 6 years, because I've been going to, I think, horror conventions for 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, you know, 5 years, we've been losing, you know, some people. And you know, some, you know, well, all of them, it's very sad.
Yeah,
you know?
especially
like Betsy Palmer, like that one, I was like, ooh, you know? I was like, because she was such a nice lady. I mean, when you would go to conventions, she would have this huge smile on her face. She would wear the sweater she wore.
Every time. Yeah,
at the time. And she would wear it and, you know, and take pictures with fans. But, you know, she was getting older, so it's kind of like, you know, it wasn't as shocking or whatever. But,
right.
You know, Wes Craven, he just did, you know, Scream 4. And, you know, I follow him on Instagram and all those things, and he posts pictures all the time. And I just had no idea he was battling in any of this.
Yeah,
and
he kept it very secretive because I remember he literally posted something about sharing somebody's, like, and that's the great thing about Wes is that he was excited for other people's love for the genre and try to share their little projects that they're coming up with. And I think literally the last retweet he did before he died was like somebody else's small, tiny project, just saying like, congratulations. Awesome. I'm so glad this is getting like, you know, picked up.
Yeah. I mean, he seemed like a really good guy. And again, he was just like on a set of like a movie he was working on, I think, or something he was doing.
He was
like,
doing three, I think their sci-fi was doing three series, and they were like kind of like, one was an adaptation of People Under the Stairs, like as a series for sci-fi, and there's like two other ones, and like he was like very active in them, you know. And
yeah,
so it was like the furthest thing from my brain and think that, you know, something
me
would
too.
Happen to
yeah
him.
And I came home like from my friend's house, I forget what we were watching, god, what was it, I don't know. Anyway, I came home and I, you know, pull up the Facebook feed,
yeah.
And it is just nothing but Wes Craven. I mean, like, literally every single post
right.
was Wes Craven.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I mean, it took me a second, like, Wes Craven? Like, I didn't expect it, you know.
Yeah.
But I think almost 10 years to the day when he died, I met him, you know, 10 years ago at a convention,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I got him to signed my Scream DVD, and I remember him like laughing because he wrote over Drew Barrymore's face. And he was like, "Sorry, Drew." And you know, we talked for a second.
Yeah,
and he was really happy to be there. You know,
and he always seemed like a very humble guy. Like, I've never heard one person be like, "Well, Wes Craven's such a fucking asshole." You know, like, we're never gonna work with him again, or you know, he says bad mouth, you know, stuff at conventions. Like, it was always like super humble, always willing to shake a hand and take a photo with people.
Absolutely, man. And again, looking back, I mean, his career was huge. You know, he did so much stuff. You know, so much like really risky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the 70s, and was able to bring that all the way up to Scream. You know, and be, you know, completely break all the walls down.
Yeah, I mean, just that's what I was telling a coworker the other day, is that, you know, when horror was dying in the 90s, like, Wes brought it back to life. Like, he took a shock pad and just.
I mean, he like, yeah, he ripped it like out of, like, people thought horror was an absolute joke,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, especially like Hollywood and stuff like that. I mean, horror movies, they're like, you know,
right,
they don't make any money or whatever. And I remember Scream was so big that it got re-released in theaters.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then you had the whole Scary Movie franchise that just took off of that, you know, and those movies made a ton of money on top of that. And then it really brought those guys like, you know, Eli Roth and James Wan out of the woodworks to really kind of like make their own horrors and put them in theaters, because or else I don't even think they would have a theater release, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I really doubt it. I mean, definitely, you know, I mean, even the 80s, you know, with Nightmare on Elm Street, mm-hmm. he had a huge part in that. I mean, like, I forget some article I read, but you know, Freddy Krueger is one of the most internationally recognized names, you know, and just faces of, like, next to Michael Jackson. Like,
oh, yeah.
Literally, Freddy Krueger is the biggest horror
icon
that there ever...
Yeah.
That there has ever been, as far, you know, as people knowing Freddy Krueger.
Mm-hmm. He is the look of nightmares, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Wes Craven, man, he made some, you know, amazing films. And it's just crazy to see, like, just the variety of just in horror that he was able to make and make it work. You know, he tried so many different things.
Right, yeah.
You know,
like,
some he failed, but majority of it were successes. But
right, I mean,
I'm happy to have you know, his films.
Just like Halloween 3, like, you still have those cult fans that, like, you know, was it Shocker? Was
that one? People love Shocker,
and you know, and then was it Last House on the Left kind of really brought that gritty 70s, like, horror, you know, full face.
Yeah, the movie is brutal. I cannot watch that movie. I watched it once, and it's too much for me.
It is, yeah. I watched it like when I was trying to like really get back into horror, and I watched it, and then I brought like Emily, and I was like, "Hey, you should watch this." And I hadn't seen it in such a long time,
yeah.
And I was just like, "Oh, you know what? Maybe we should turn this off."
Yeah, maybe we should watch the Puppy Bowl.
Yeah, right. The Puppy Bowl's on. Great. Yeah. Ugh.
But yeah, and I just went to there's this awesome theater around here. It does retro screenings, and they did People Under the Stairs.
Oh, very cool.
Oh man, it was one of the best crowd theater experiences that I've ever had.
Really?
It was a riot, man. People loved it. You know, because it's so ridiculous.
It's very campy and
and some of the stuff in there is just so outrageous and fun. Mm-hmm. But it was it played great in the theater. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's sad. Sad moment.
Yeah.
In the horror world, man.
Yeah, we lost him, and we lost Roddy Piper not too long ago too, from They Live, and it's really sad to like you go around these conventions and you see, you know, all the guys sitting behind their tables that's like selling their 8x10s, and you know you're like, oh, I'll just get it next year, or I'll meet them another time, and then you see these news reports, and it's like that's it, like. You lost your chance,
yeah,
you know.
I know. Yeah, I don't mess around like with people that you know that I love and want to meet or whatever. I try to.
Mm-hmm.
I try to see them.
Yeah, you definitely
like,
have to. This,
like the second John Carpenter did one convention, I just you know went out to meet him.
Oh yeah, definitely. God, and yeah. He actually had a stroke here in Florida when he did a convention.
Yeah, I know.
And
yeah,
it was so scary because it was like I was literally going to go meet him. I went out to lunch and then I came back and there's ambulances everywhere. And they're like, "They just took Don Carpenter to the hospital." And I was like, "No, like not just because you know he's John freaking
John,
Carpenter.
Don't die on me now. Yeah, man. Just wait another day."
And he was such a humble guy. He came back to the convention and finished out his run and signed everybody's stuff, and that was it.
Yeah. John, you know he's cool. I mean, I like John because he kind of, like, he doesn't play the game like a lot of people, you know.
Right.
He just kind of does what he wants to do. I mean, he's kind of the king of I'm not doing any sequels.
Right, yeah.
Type of guy. I mean, he's very true to what he believes in and what he wants to do. And, of course, he hasn't been as successful as a lot of other people
because
he's not very good at, you know, at just saying yes to a check or whatever.
Right, yeah.
But, which, you know, which is sad because we haven't seen, like, a big budget, you know, Carpenter movie in a while. And it's so surprising to me that all, you know, like, of all these different movies getting made, you know, and the Blumhouse and, you know, the movies don't have these huge budgets that no one is giving John Carpenter.
Right, like...
John Carpenter a little bit of money to make a movie, you know, because I think he has all kinds of ideas. He just hasn't had anyone who's really...
You could get that like perfect DP to sit with him and be like, I've loved all your angles and the wide shots and the way you kind of shot your films. Like, let's try and recapture that in this new big budget film. You know, it's just I don't get the whole Hollywood like it's they're over, it's done. Because he tried to do what was it, The Ward that came out with Amber Heard, and like it didn't even really technically look like a John Carpenter film watching it. And I was like, that's the problem is that he needs the right people that love John Carpenter films working with him.
Well, I think one thing that's you know, that is great about John, but I think it's also kind of, you know, bad and works against him is that he loves new technology.
Mm, right.
And stuff like that. He loves doing, you know, he wants it to be, which is great. I think that's the way you need to be, you know, as a filmmaker.
Move forward,
yeah. But there's just something about John, like, in that kind of retro, like, you know, I mean, it's hard to explain. It's like, They won't give him, you know, the budget or enough creative control to kind of elevate it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he just kind of gets stuck in that it looks like everything else type of, you know, movie.
Right.
You know, and if they would give him that budget, you know, and the people and the time and the control, I think he could do something that would break, you know, some boundaries and be like a true Carpenter
classic,
you know, film. Because he's good at capturing those incredible landscapes, those giant... you know, kind of open scenes or whatever. But
and even bright colors. I've always noticed he has a very cool, like, widescreen bright colors, like a Big Trouble in Little China look, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
that's another thing. It's like everything's so controlled and, calculated with all these different, you know, releases. I mean, we are getting some different stuff now, but, you know, I mean, he likes to do just totally original kind of works, and you know, and I don't know, just a lot of people aren't willing to gamble on that, which is, you know, is sad. If I had millions of dollars, I'd, you know,
that's where
I'd
you
give it to John.
Yeah, John, yeah. Let's work on something.
Yeah. But hopefully we see something from it.
Right,
but.
And it's cool that he's doing his soundtracks. You know, like, the soundtrack that he just put out was great on vinyl. Like, I love hearing his new stuff.
Yeah, his music, it's... I love it, man. It's incredible to me. And it's funny, I kind of, like, weirdly broke this story. Mm-hmm. But I posted a comment on his page. He was working with I forget what the guy's name is, to do some sort of collaboration, and he's a part of the collaboration. Mm-hmm. And I posted on there, I was like, you know, all this sounds awesome, I can't wait for it, but I also said, you know, please think about touring.
Yeah.
I would love to see you tour. And he replied to me, and that was the first time he had ever said anything about it, but he said that they're going to do a handful of tour dates, and he's doing an additional album next year. So John Carpenter...
live,
you know, is supposed to, yeah, live. You know, it's, which is, oh man, that's gonna be amazing. So
yeah, that's really cool. Like, you kind of like poked the bear a little bit, like,
yeah,
you know?
And he's gonna put together a live show, which is, you know, hopefully, you know, he plays his new soundtrack music. But could you imagine, like, going to a John Carpenter show and he plays, like, classic, you know,
yeah,
like some tracks. Of the Yeah, tracks that we love, like seeing that in person. I mean,
yeah,
that'd be incredible.
Yes, so. John, stay with us just a little longer, if not for another decade or two. You know,
yeah. But I'm sure he's probably just going to play like New York and L.A. or something.
Right? Yeah, but, I know.
Yeah, hopefully he plays like D.C. or something. You know, I'm going to try to go regardless. But
yeah, exactly.
I'm very excited about that.
If you play somewhere between us, we should meet up and we'll go see John Carpenter.
Yeah, like Atlanta. Atlanta's a possibility.
Yeah.
It's normally like New York, L.A., like Washington D.C., Atlanta.
Yeah, I remember Phantomus played Atlanta, and I bought tickets, and I was like, I'm doing it. I'm driving, because they weren't playing anywhere near Florida. You know,
that's awesome. Yeah, that'd be cool, man.
Definitely. Well, Kenny. Dude, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about Honey
thank
Spider.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
The film is out October 6th. Pre-order on Amazon or check it out on Best Buy.
Yeah, Best Buy or whatever. Yeah, and all the information is at honeyspidermovie.com. And if you just look up Honey Spider on Facebook or Twitter, Tumblr, anything like that, there's information. And hopefully as this podcast comes out, we'll have some places where you can actually go in the store and purchase Honey Spider.
Hell
it's
yes.
It's a cool little indie movie, man. And I think it's really resonating with people that enjoy those small cult films. Like, mm-hmm. I knew some people, you know, would like it, would hate it, whatever. It's got a slow pacing, but it's I don't know, it's people are saying that it's capturing the spirit of Halloween, and there's something about it that's really kind of resonating with those fans, and we're already getting this kind of crazy weird little fan base, which is really cool.
Yeah, and you can't be happier than having people talk to you about, you know, your film being like the resonating, you know, Halloween, you know, like that's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, like all I want to hear is like, man, like I want to pull out this movie every Halloween and watch it. You know, that's the coolest thing in the world to me. It's just to be a part of those movies, no matter how small of a scale.
Right.
That there's someone out there who wants to kind of, you know, put Honey Spider in between these lists of amazing films that take place on Halloween.
Exactly.
And kind of enjoy them.
And at least you're doing it with you're getting your disc out there before discs are all done with and nobody buys discs anymore. Like, at least you'll get that one last bit out, you know?
Well, actually, and I hadn't talked about this, we haven't announced it yet. I'm going to announce it this week, but we are releasing Honey Spider on limited edition VHS.
What?
Yeah, dude, it's going to be amazing. It's going to come with, like a digital copy of the soundtrack, with like posters, buttons. So I have full control over the VHS. Mm-hmm. Like, this is something that the distribution gave us the rights to do.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to make the package just the absolute best it can be.
Oh, you have
yeah.
to. Maybe
Honey Spider on VHS.
Yeah, maybe even print like creases in it, you know, to give it that like vintage look.
Oh, it's got a vintage look. anyone who likes the 80s, you know, who grew up going to video stores in the 80s, they're going to have an instant horror boner for this
deluxe
case.
Edition. Yeah. Awesome, Kenny. Well, I look forward to seeing it. Dude, take it easy. I'm glad you came on the show, and I hope to have you back next year.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. Right. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy Halloween.
The boogeyman is coming.
Crazies. End of the month, they're out of food.